Okay, tonight is Wednesday night, December 21st, or 22nd day of the month of Kislev. This is the women's Mishnah Shir, Gemara Shir. We're in the middle of Maseches Chulin, first parak of Chulin.
Okay, Rabotai. Last time we spent quite a bit of time on the first answer of the Gemara, how to understand Hakol Shochtin, which indicates lichatchila you are permitted to submit an animal to someone else to shech. Ushchita san ksheira means only bidieved. Mean lichatchila you should not give this individual. That was the first answer about tamei bechulin. Tonight we're going to see two other answers, both related, and both of them engage in extremely important principles which we apply on a regular basis in all of our establishments that are under control of some type of hashgacha agency. So I bracketed the relevant lines for you. This is Daf Gimel Amud Aleph in Masechet Chulin. Abaye Omar. Abaye says, Hachi Ketani, this is the way we should understand the Mishnah, Hakol Shochatin Ushchitatan Ksheira. Hakol Shochatin V'afilu Kuti. Everybody is allowed to shecht, even a Kuti. We'll see who these Kutim are in a minute. Bamed Varim Amurim, when do I allow you to give an animal to a Kuti and he can shecht l'chatchila? Kishi Yisrael Omeid Al Gabav, when a regular Jew is standing right next to him. Aval Yotze V'Nichnas, but if the Jew is not available to be there all the time, continuously, but he can only be in and out, Yotze V'Nichnas, Lo Yishchot, then lichatchila we should not give this kuti an animal to shecht. However, the im shochat, if he did shecht an animal and there was no constant supervision, at best a Jew was coming in and out and checking. If he shechted, what do you have to do? Choteich kizayis basar. Vinotainlo, the ultimate test if somebody trusts his own kashrut. You cut off a piece of meat and you tell him to eat it.
That's the Yisrael, right?
No.
Oh, this is
the Kuti.
The Kuti.
The Kuti. Ochlo, if the Kuti ate it.
Who is the Kuti, though? We don't know who that is.
Okay, I'm going to explain. Ochlo, if he ate it, mutar le'echol mishchitato. Then you and I are permitted to eat from his shechita. Lo achalo, if he refused to eat it, asur le'echol mishchitato. You are not permitted to what? Eat from his shechita. So, the first order of business is, before we discuss Yisrael Oymir Al-Gabav and Yoytze V'Nichnas, let's try to get a clear understanding who these kutim are. Who are they? So if you go to pages 2 and 3 for just a moment, I failed to start it for you. Melachim Bet, chapter 17. Which deals with a group of people who lived in the Shomron, whose halachic status was in constant flux. Constant flux. And the reason why it was in constant flux is captured very briefly at the last pasuk of this chapter on page 3. The last pasuk of chapter... Yeah, that's the way the Bar Ilan had it. The last page. Vayihyu hagoyim ha'ele yireim et Hashem. They were God-fearing individuals. However, ve'et psilehem hayu avdim. They were worshipping their images. Gam b'nehem, uv'nei b'nehem, their children and grandchildren, Ka'asher asu avotam, just as their grandparents had done, heim osim ad hayom hazeh. They were doing the exact same thing. And Chazal were never 100% sure who these guys, what was happening with these people. Never 100% sure what was happening with this group of people. Not sure. And as a result, their halachic status was in flux. In some regard, they accepted Torah Shebiktav, but a literal reading of Torah Shebiktav. Literal reading. So halachot that are black on blue in the text, not only did the Kuti family observe, but as we will soon see in the name of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, any mitzvah that the Kutim observed, they observed more rigorously than any member of Am Yisrael. Harbe medaktikim ba yoter mi Yisrael. We'll see it in a couple of minutes. The problem was, if something was not black on white, they didn't believe in it at all. So for our point tonight, we have to focus on the following prohibitions. Does it say in the Torah, black and white, that you're not allowed to eat nevela meat? Yes, it does. It says it black and white. Chapter 11 of Sefer Vayikra, verse 8, it says, Mibisaram lo tochelu. Not supposed to eat their meat. Uvenivlatam lo tigal. You're not supposed to eat it. Fine. So we have no doubt in our minds that the Kuti was committed to kosher meat. There is no doubt. However, let me ask you, what lav am I describing? I shecht an animal, and I know it's not kosher. It was not a good shechita. I know that. And I serve you the meat, telling you that it was kosher meat. Lifnei iver lo titein michshol. Now they interpret lifnei iver only in its literal sense. Do not put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. So they will never do that. If you're blind, they won't put a rock in front of you and make you trip. But Chazal's understanding of lifnei iver, that it doesn't only mean putting a stumbling block in the literal sense, but also in the figurative sense, to cause somebody to stumble spiritually by setting them up for a potential transgression, that they didn't believe in at all. Didn't believe it. So the Gemara tells us that I am not permitted to facilitate a Nazir drinking wine. I can't facilitate it. So if we are on opposite sides of the river, this is the case illustrated in the Gemara, and there is a bottle of wine standing next to me, and the Nazir can't get it himself, he asks me to chuck the bottle of wine across the river. He's a good fielder. He won't drop it. Now, I can't do so, because that's setting him up for transgressing the prohibition that a Nazir is not permitted to drink wine. If he was right next to me, then he could have picked it up himself. So if I give it to him, I don't violate Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mekshol. So the Kuti community never accepted the rabbinic extension of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mekshol. Never. Hence, we're a little in a quandary here. If a Kuti shechts, so if he's shechting for himself, there's no doubt that he can eat it. His shechita is kosher. There's no doubt. He can eat it. Question is, if he's now serving it to you and to me. So we have no idea, when he shechts an animal, we have no idea what he's planning on doing with this animal. So lichatchila, what do we say? We can't trust him. He might shecht an animal, render it nevela, and not feel uncomfortable in giving us the non-kosher meat. He won't not feel comfortable. Hence, lechatchila, I'm not permitted to give him an animal unless there is a Yisrael omeid al gabav. A Yisrael omeid al gabav. Then the trustworthiness of the validity of the shechita is not in the hands of the kuti. The Yisrael provides the ne'emanut that this shechita was a kosher shechita. It's transferred from the shochet to the rabbi, or who is the rabbi, the person who was there who witnessed the shechita. He provides the ne'emanut for us. That's lichatchila. Bidieved, if there was nobody there during the full shechita, there is only one litmus test that the Gemara is willing to accept, if he eats it. Because we know the Kuti community is committed to the laws of kashrut. So if I cut a piece of meat from this animal, which he said I shechted properly, and he devours it, I am allowed to eat it. Why? I can assume that he's not going to eat tarfas. He's not going to eat nevela. Why? Because those psukim, those prohibitions, are black and white in the text. If it's black and white in the text, not necessary to have rabbinic interpretation, under those circumstances, we trust the kusi. That's what the Gemara says at this particular point in time. So they were a very funny group, very funny group, and Chazal were never 100% sure what's happening here. Were they still, over, even though they worshipped their idols, or most frequently what they did, if you take a look at the page number 2 again for a second, so this was their most notable transgression. Vayikatru Shom in the Shomron, Bamot, Bechol Bamot, Kagoyim Asher Hoglo Hashem Mipnechem, Vayasu Dvarim Raim Lahachis et Hashem. They serve offered sacrifices on Bamot. What is a Bama? A personal mizbeach that you build in your backyard. That doesn't mean you're worshipping Avodah Zarah. I could offer a korban with the intention to serve my master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's apparently what they were doing. They did not yet deny God. They were just offering korbanot in the Shomron when the halacha is there's only one place you're allowed to offer a korban. Where is that one place? In the Mikdash. In the Mikdash. There were times in Jewish history when a personal bama was permissible. When was that time? Upon entry into Israel, and the Mishkan was in transition. There was no steady place for the Mishkan. It was in Nov, and in Givon, and in Gilgal, and in Shiloh. So a Jew who wanted to be a carpenter had no idea. There was no iPhone. He had no idea where the Mikdash was. So the halacha allowed you to bring a korban in your backyard. Once the Beit HaMikdash was built, the Isur Bamot goes into effect. And it remains in effect even if the Beit HaMikdash has been subsequently destroyed, which it has been twice. We never have returned to the license, to the permissibility of bringing a korban in your backyard. Never again. And we will never allow it ever again. It was an accommodation made only at that time. Because they couldn't live without korbanot. Everybody, that was the mode of worship. We can live very nicely without it. So, they were offering on bamot. Now, offering on bama is a very serious prohibition. But it doesn't mean you're beyond the pale of a Jew. It means I have this need. I got to offer. I can be offering it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. following all the rules and regulations of every korban. So Chazal were a little not sure about these guys. Not sure. Slowly but surely, they started identifying the Kuti community as absolute Gentiles. Slowly. First, the Gemara tells us they prohibited their wine. Then they prohibited their bread. It was like Pasakum. Then, when they found Dimut Yonah in their Beit Knesset, where they found images of what? Of a Yonah, of a dove, in their Beit Knesset, then Chazal said, why are they having these images in their Beit Knesset? They must be worshipping to it, and that's real Avodah Zarah. At that stage, they decided that a Kuti will have the halacha like a Gentile, lichol divarav, for all halachic matters. For all halachic matters. And it never changed its status. That's why Rambam, for example, never formulated the laws of a Kuti in regards to Shechita. Because once the Rambam knew of the Takana, that they're disqualified, I don't have to code their eligibility because they will never be eligible again. They're just goyim. They're treated like a goy. And when a goy shechts, the shechit is not kosher. Not kosher. Not kosher. But here we're in this twilight zone with the Kuti. Not sure exactly where they stand. So at times their activity was accepted, at times it was rejected. I'm going to show you another brayta, a daf later, which talks about their matzah. Do they believe in shmura matzah or not? Let's see, we'll see, we'll talk about it in a minute. No, there are no kutim in this. No, there are, there might be. They're called the shomronim. There might be. Rambam believed that Kuti became the model for the Tzdukim. Exactly. It's a different group of people. It's a different group of people. The Tzdukim, they believed in the rigorous reading of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh. And I'm going to tell you a big chiddush about the Tzdukim right now.
But they didn't do anything like you were just saying. Like,
that is correct.
They didn't do any of that.
That's correct. Because it says you're not allowed to offer a korban on a bama. Mm-hmm. So that it says black on white. In fact, I'm going to shock you.
Ooh.
Shock you. Anytime you have a teacher, most teachers will tell their students that the Tzdukim did not believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh. Only Torah Sheba'al. I believe that if you accept that premise, there would have been nothing to worry about the Tzdukim. Nothing to worry about. And we were plenty worried about the Tzdukim. Many of them became Kohanim Gidolim during Bayit Sheni. We were very concerned about the Tzduki community. If I asked the Tzduki, are you allowed to go ahead and cook on Shabbos? What's the Tzduki going to tell me? Yes or no? Where does it say in the Torah you're not allowed to cook? That's kindle a fire. Where does it say you're not allowed to cook? Where does it say you're not allowed to dye a garment? Soveya. It doesn't mention any of the melachot. What does it say? Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. Well, if the Tzduki only reads Torah Shebiktav, how does he define? Yeah, what does he mean? Melacha. How does he define melacha?
But it could include cooking, though.
It could, but how would I know that? How would the Tzduki define the word unless he was committed to Torah Sheba'al Peh? The Tzduki is told on the Yontov of Pesach to eat matzah, be'erev tochlu matzot. Okay, what's a piece of matzah? So the Torah tells us what a piece of matzah looks like? No, maybe it's a tam tam. Maybe it's a ring ding, even better. How do I know what matzah looks like? How do I know? The Torah tells you to dwell in a sukkah for 7 days. Does the Torah define what a sukkah looks like? No. Maybe it's a teepee.
So you're saying it's impossible for them to...
It's impossible. They would be... If the Tzdukim, listen carefully, did not believe in any aspect of Torah Sheba'al Peh, there would be less contact between the Prushim and the Tzdukim, the traditionalist Tzdukim, than there is today between Orthodox and Reform. And there is no dialogue, no conversation. We're not afraid of Reform Jewry about their impact on our children. Because they have to, we're not talking the same language. So what's the issue with the Tzdukim? If the Pasuk says nothing, and you needed Torah Sheba'al Peh to translate it, even the Tzduki accepted Torah Sheba'al Peh. You know where they objected to us? Where the Torah is perfectly clear in its explanation, and the rabbi said it means something else. For example, no, not fences. For example, what? Correct. I'll give you every example. Usfartem lachem mimacharat haShabbat. When do you start counting the Omer? The Torah says when you, the day after Shabbos. Mimacharat haShabbat. We say Shabbat doesn't mean Shabbat, it means second day of Yontif. What do you mean? Where'd you get the nonsense from? They said. It says black on white. I know how to translate. Bimachos HaShabbos. The Gemara, the Torah rarely, if ever, calls Yom Tov Shabbos. It doesn't. It calls it a Moed. Eile Moadei Hashem. Or, I'll give you another illustration with its Stukim. The Pasuk says, Ushmartem et Hamatzot. Translate the phrase Ushmartem et Hamatzot. Translate it. Watch it. Good. So after they baked their matzos, they posted an armed guard, and they guarded their matzos. Where'd you get this business about Shmura matzah? That you have to make sure that it doesn't come in contact with water after you cut the grain. Where'd you hear that from? It says by tzitzit, Ur item oto. What does it mean? Look at your tzitzis. So next to the Israeli flag in its Stuki shul was hanging a pair of tzitzis. That's what the Torah says. Look at it. We interpret Uri Temoto means that you should have the capacity to see it, and as a result there is no mitzvah of tzitzis at night. Same thing with by the Avodah on Yom Kippur. If you read chapter 16 of the book of Vayikra, Acharei Mot, which is the Kriyat HaTorah of Yom Kippur morning, it says exactly the way that Stukim believed the Kohen Gadol should do the Avodah. Ki be'anan eira'e al hakaporet. Ki be'anan. That's what it says. What does that mean? I will see the kaporet, which is the cover of the Aron, in a cloud cover. Ki be'anan. So where are you supposed to put the spices onto the coals in your frying pan? Before you walk in. So that there is now a big cloud cover, and I walk in, be'anan. That's what it says in the Chumash. And the Tzdukim, and we say, no, who cares what it says? You're supposed to walk in, no cloud cover yet at all. After you're in, you take your frying pan, the Kohen Gadol does, with the spices in it, with the coals in it, drops the spices on it, and all of a sudden, inside, there is enormous cloud cover. This became an enormous debate. You know, the Mishneh and Yuma. They made the Kohen Gadol swear that he was not going to do the Avodah like the Tzukin. And they put a metal chain on him. Because in case he did the Avodah like the Tzukin, what's going to happen? The Torah says he's going to die. So they were going to... If he's going to die, you can't walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they had a chain which they'd be able to pull him out in case he dropped dead on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says that Tztukim, there were plenty of Kohanim Gedolim who were Tztukim, but they were afraid to follow the Tztuki law. They did it right. They were afraid. But those are the handful of cases where the Tztuki said no. And their argument was that the rabbis are assuming too much power for themselves. They're translating a text in a fashion which is against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says what I want you to do. And you guys are corrupting it. That is a very good point. That is a very powerful, swaying argument. That's why we had so much trouble with the Tztukim. We had so much trouble with them. But to claim that they observed nothing about Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebapeh, there'd be nothing to discuss. What am I worried about? There's nothing to discuss. They wouldn't know how to do anything. They'd be less than reformed Jews. Yes.
How does the fact that they don't accept Olam Haba fit into that philosophy?
That's fine, because it doesn't say it any place. Even Chazal don't really have a makar for Olam Haba. Where is it? You scratch your head, there's nothing there. Zero. Trias HaMeisim? Torah doesn't say anything about Trias HaMeisim. They can deny that too, because there's Oz Yashir Moshe and in the future as opposed to Oz Shar Moshe. There's a Ramazim. That's not black and white in the text. That's not black and white. So the Rambam believes that the Makor for guiding our policy about a Tztuki is derived from where? From the Kuti. So the Rambam in Perek Dalet of Hilchas Shechita describes the laws. If a Tztuki goes ahead to Shechts, am I permitted to eat? Now, what's the answer? Of course, if the Tztuki eats the meat, you can what? You can trust him. Why? Because he's committed to the laws of Shechita. Because the Torah doesn't define what Shechita is. How am I supposed to know what the laws of Shechita? The Torah says you're supposed to shecht an animal. What does that mean? You're supposed to knock it over the head with a stone? I don't know. Of course they observed it. But lifnei iver lo titen mechshol. I know exactly what it means. What does it mean? Don't put a rock in front of a blind person. Where do you get this nonsense that you're not allowed to give somebody bad advice? You're not supposed to facilitate navera. That they don't believe. So in some respects, the Kuti and the Tztuki followed similar paths, even though in other respects there was no comparison whatsoever. No comparison whatsoever. Because the Tztuki respected that on a Bama, you're not supposed to offer a Korban. Not supposed to. He knew that. Yes.
Is there any... even for those like meaningful dialogue ever between the Prushim, like a Prushi, you know, scholar and a Tzeduki scholar?
Oh yes, the Gemara is
panel. And
the Gemara is full of those discussions. 100%, sure. Yeah. Now, Tosafot. Go back to page number 1 for a minute. Hold on a second. Before you go to Tosafot, I want to see Rava's opinion, who is reacting to Abaye. Omar Rava, I bracket the next bracketed line in the middle of the page. Omar Rava. Page 1. Omar Rava. V'yotze v'nichnas l'chatchila lo? You mean to tell me that if you only have a mashgiach who is in and out, yotze v'nichnas, but he's not there all the time, not hashgacha tmidit, you mean to tell me by a kuti that's insufficient? Because Abaye said it's insufficient. What was the only way Abaye said you can eat a shechita? Yisrael loymed al gabav. A Jew's there all the time. Mahashgacha tmidis. Asks Rava. Hayotze v'nichnas lechatchil eloi v'hatnan hameniach oved kochavim b'chanuto v'Yisrael yotze v'nichnas mutar. It's talking about a wine store. A wine store. So I left a kuti, or an oivik, or a gentile. I left a gentile in a wine store, and all I, the owner, was doing was going in and out. So what potential might I have that the gentile is going to do with my wine? He's going to handle it. And I can't drink any bottle here. Says the Braita, which Rava is quoting, that all you need is what? Yotze v'nichnas. So how can a kuti be worse than an oved kochavim, a gentile?
No, but sir, you're talking about meat and talking about wine.
What's the make of the difference? Now I'd eat wine that was nisuch al yayin esach. Let's assume he really poured it lavay de zara.
No, do we hold for wine that you need a mashgiach tmidi?
Today we don't really have yayin esach. We have a rabbinic thing, stam yena. Stam yena.
The thing that we hold mashgiach tmidi is just on meat.
No, not. We'll see. Okay. No. No, we have a mashgiach tmidi on wine. Sure. That's one of the reasons why Rashi wrote his commentary. Rashi wrote his commentary for his employees. Rashi was a winemaker. And he had to have all Jewish employees. He couldn't hire Gentiles. Because he handled wine. And he wanted to make sure that his employees are doing some learning. So he wrote a commentary to ease the Gemara on behalf of the commentaries, which he called the pamphlet, the Kuntres. That was Rashi's contribution. And he wrote it over three times to crystallize it. And then, like I always tell you, a printer picked it up and published it. Thank God. Otherwise, we would be ignoramusai without Rashi. Ignoramusai without Rashi in the Gemara. In Chumash, we could get away without Rashi, because he quotes the Medrash so often. Not the Pshat. But in the Gemara, we'd be totally ignoramusai without Rashi. So the Gemara, so Rava says, Yotze v'nichnas seems to be okay. Now what's the principle of Yotze v'nichnas based on? What's the principle of Yotze v'nichnas based on?
You don't know when the person's
coming in. So what element is there?
Fear.
Oh, if he catches me, what's going to happen? I'm fired. I'm out of a job. So the Mishnah says, Yotze v'nichnas is perfectly okay. So why do you need Yisrael? Why do you need Hashgachat Midit for a kuti? Answers to Gemara, Hasam mi katani meiniach? Ha meiniach katani. Doesn't say meiniach Adam oved kochavim bechanuto, that you're allowed to put a Gentile in your store. It means what happened? If you did it. It happened. Ha meiniach. You left the Gentile. Bidi Eved, exactly. But Lechatchila, that Mishnah doesn't support you at all. Does not support you at all. Well, he found something else. Ela Mehacha. There is another Braita. Ein Hashomer Tzarich Lihiyot Yoshev Umishamer. Ela afal pishi yotze v'nichnas mutar. It's again talking about wine. Much of Maseches Avodah Zarah handles the status of wine. So if you hire a guard to watch your winery, the shomer doesn't have to be there 24 hours. All the time, 24/7. What does the shomer have to be? Einot sarich liyot, ela yotze v'nichnas. The Gemara believes that the phrase Einot Sarich Lihiyot is Lechatchila. You can do so Lechatchila. That you don't have to have somebody there 24/7. Walking in, walking out is perfectly okay.
the guard is there 24/7, but the guard is not Jewish.
No, the guard is Jewish. He is the Jewish God. And the workers are Gentile.
Oh, so you said the guard doesn't have to be there 24/7.
That's exactly what the Gemara says. That's why Rava is going to change his interpretation in the Mishnah. Ela Amar Rava Hachi Katani. Hakol Shochatin Va'afilu Kuti. Everybody is allowed to shech, even a kuti. Bamed varim amurim kishi Yisrael yotzei v'nichnas. When will I allow a kuti's shchita and I will eat the meat? If at least, what is there? Yotzei v'nichnas. A Jew is walking in and out. Avol ba umitzao sheshochat. But if there is no Jew who was even yotzei v'nichnas during the course of a shchita, but just he slaughtered already, now you do the other test. Chotech lo kizayis basar v'nosein lo. You cut off a piece of meat and you give it to him. Achalo, if he ate it, mutu lecho mishchitaso, you can eat it. Lo achalo, asu lecho mishchitaso. This, the Rav, was notorious for using this method of checking on mashkichen. Notorious.
If they wouldn't eat it,
you're fired on the spot. Fire you on the spot. And as you well know, the Rav had a lot of agbas nefesh from that, from his attempt to clean up the kashrut in Boston. You know, people were getting, they got him to trouble with the government initially. They said he was taking bribes and so on and so forth. He had to go to court and, but he stuck to his guns. Yeah. But he fired dozens of mashkichen because they didn't want to eat from their own shechita. They didn't want to eat from their own establishments.
So they would like, it's interesting, so they would be willing to cheat others,
be a whole bunch of people.
Exactly.
And themselves.
Yeah. Be from.
It's pretty evil.
Be from.
Yeah. That's true.
Yes, I know. And that's why I really believe, and I told this to my dear colleague, when the Eruv of Teaneck was opened up in 1982, I said,
you're not
going to
carry it.
You're not going to carry. People are going to think the Eruv is no good. Everybody in your shul can be machmir except you. Except you. You have to carry. And he didn't listen to me. He did not listen to me. The first time that it was open was Rosh Hashanah of 1982. It was a Shabbos. And I deliberately did not bring my kittel to shul on Friday. I carried it in public on Shabbos morning to let everybody know the Eruv is perfectly okay. But I asked him to do the same thing. He didn't want to do it. Did not. She says, I'm machmer like the Rambam. There's 60,000 reasons you can be machmer. I said, Dr. Zalewski can be machmer. That's okay. He's not the rabbi to shul. But you should carry. Because when you carry, you demonstrate that it's not only good for Yenin, it's good for me too. And I don't believe in that standard. It's good for somebody else, but it's not good for me. And that's what this principle is. Chotech lo kizayis basa. Now, let's read the last Tosfot on the page, because Tosfos establishes an incredibly important principle. Incredibly important principle. Tosfos says, Avul ba u mitza o sheshachat, chotech kizayis basa. Asks Tosfos, V'im tomar childefreg in akasha, kevon dirova midame shchita l'yayinesech. Since Rava is now comparing the status of shchita to yayinesech, wine that was poured for idolatrous purposes. Ba umitza'o. Once he walks in and the kuti had already shechted the animal, lishteri below chotech kizayis basar v'no sein lo, Kimo b'yayin esach. Then what should happen? What should happen? What should happen? If you're comparing shechita to yayin esach, we should now say whatever status is acceptable for yayin esach is acceptable for what? For shechita. Now, what does the Gemara actually say by yayin esach? The Gemara says that a Gentile who was found bitzad habor. Maze bitzad habor. What pit? What pit do we think we're talking about? The pit where they're pressing the wine. And what happens? What happens? If the Gentile is there and he's caught on the spot, nobody was there the whole time, but he's there, as long as he doesn't owe the Jew anything, or the Jew doesn't owe him anything, you can drink the wine. You can drink the wine. That's what the Gemara says.
Because that's the only reason that he would have...
Yes.
The reason,
it's a difficult Gemara.
That
if he owed the Jew money, what would he want to do? He'd want to maybe take some wine out, and I'll pay you back in wine. But if he doesn't owe him anything, we will assume that the Gentile was told he will not disobey directions. So if it works by wine, why shouldn't it work for what? For shechita. Why do I have to cut off a piece of meat? If I tell the kuti, you know what? Shecht me an animal and do it right. Why do I assume he's not going to do it right and make life miserable for me? So just give me 1 second. So Tosfot, read Tosfot's answer. V'yesh lomar, 4 lines from the end. Four words, 5 words from the end. K'defrish yisla'el, k'evon sheyachol levarer al yidei k'zayit basar, yesh lo levarer.
Why can't you live out there and give him some wine to drink?
Because what does he care? He's a Gentile. So Gemara's a Gentile. Who cares? He's not a mind drink. So what is Tosfos telling us? Anytime you rely on a halachic gizmo to remove, I'm going to give you the halachic words that we're dealing with. Leidat hasafek. Leidat hasafek. Mazel leidat hasafek. The birth of what? An element of doubt. What creates the element of doubt here? What creates the element of doubt? We just don't know the status of this wine. We don't know the status of this meat. So, by wine, there's no test-tasting test that can provide any additional information. By shechita, there is another test. Besides Yotzei v'nichnas. What is that test? Give him a piece of meat. Because we know for a fact that a kuti will not eat non-kosher meat. So Tosafot is consistent here with something that he says all over Shas. That wherever it is possible to further verify what happened and remove the safek through another means, we cannot ignore that and simply rely on a halakhic gizmo to do what? To do what? To remove the element of doubt.
But why are we not comparing apples to apples?
Because Rava compared apples to non-apples. Rava said, how do I know that Yotzei v'nichnas works?
No, but you're talking about, with the shlita, you're talking about a kuti who was there, and with the wine, we're talking about a Gentile.
Correct. And if because a Gentile who handles the wine disqualifies them. It's asur b'hano'o. It's worse than the animal which was becomes nevela.
But why are we saying if there's a kuti who's watching the wine, okay, so that maybe...
Because that's not the case of the Gemara. The case of
us would be equivalent.
I understand, but Rava, what was Rava looking for? That a Yotzei v'nichnas with the problem person is enough. So here we have a Yotzei v'nichnas Jew to the problem person, the Kuti. There was a Yotzei v'nichnas to the problem person, a Gentile. So if Yotzei v'nichnas worked for a Gentile, says Rava, it's got to work for a Kuti. But Even if you were Yotzei V'Nichnas, does it completely eliminate the Suffolk? Does it completely? No! So therefore, what does Tyson say you have to do? Give him a piece of meat. What would be the only time in which you can rely on the Yotzei V'Nichnas according to Rava? What would be the only way that you can rely on the Yotzei V'Nichnas to eat this piece of meat? If what? Then you're swallowing it on that book. Then I don't need the kusi. I saw it myself. Under what circumstances will we get away with just Yotzei V'Nichnas? Answer the question. Under what circumstances will this? But he's
not doing that.
I'm asking you without it. If he's not around. He disappeared. He shefted a behema and he disappeared. I have no idea who he is.
Did you know that he shefted a behema?
Correct. And there was a Yotzei V'Nichnas. So will Rava allow you to eat it based on the Yotzei V'Nichnas?
Yes.
Yes. That's what he says is in the Mishnah. Hakol Shochatin, everybody's allowed to shef. Ushkitas and Sheru when he's Yotzei V'Nichnas. Yotzei V'Nichnas. Of course, if you can eliminate more doubt by giving him the piece of meat, of course you do that. And I'll give you the same statement which Tosfos makes in another case. A couple of blocks later in Chulin. I walk over to an animal, nobody ever heard of me. They don't know if I have any experience. They have no idea that if I ever learned Hilchos Shechita before. And I just shefted the behema. And I'm standing right here. What is your obligation to do before you consume the meat?
You have to interrogate me.
Exactly. You have to interrogate me. Why? Because by interrogating, I can eliminate the element of doubt to a much greater extent. But if I'm not here, what do we apply? Rove. The majority of people who shecht an animal know what they're doing. The majority.
But we're not going to make you, if you're here, we're not going to make you eat a piece of the meat?
No. Honest. You don't have to.
Because no, I don't know if that's eating you.
Right,
know
exactly.
You are, what do you care?
But they don't know anything about you.
That's correct. Even not knowing anything, but there is a rove, a statistical majority, that if somebody comes to a behema and shechts it, he probably is a shechet.
You don't assume he is a kuti, though.
No, we do not. So the Gemara talks about what happens if the majority of people are Gentiles in this community. So there's no, who knows? There are contingencies. What?
Having a shechted.
We don't. We rely on the rove. We rely on the rove. The majority of people who are called upon to shech, we expect them, it's like the doctor call. If you ask for a doctor on the plane, we don't expect a plumber to come forward. We don't. We expect the doctor to come forward. So too, somebody is shechting, we expect them to be a shechter. But that is only, says Tosafot, if it's impossible to verify any further. If the guy's here, just ask him a question. There's a Gemara in Pesachim. We did that the first week. About somebody who rented a house. And we don't know if the bedikah was done. Why don't you just ask him? What's the answer? He's in Aruba already for Pesach. He's not home. So the safek can't be resolved. So now I have a halach of roiv. The majority of people, before they leave the house, do bedikas chametz. They do. That's what the Gemara said. Yeah.
So, like, almost the modern evolution of that is kosher today, where if you're in a community, people invite you for lunch. You're not necessarily, unless you know for a fact that these are people that are questionable, you'll go.
That's correct.
They go to shul, they go to your shul, you may not be your best friends, but okay. Most people...
So this is a forgotten halacha in today's day and age.
I can't believe that you can take food to your shul.
It's a forgotten halacha.
Bring it in,
The halacha that everybody is trusted,
unless otherwise,
doesn't exist today.
Most.
Yeah. That's correct. That's the way we used to be.
We used to cook for, right?
Exactly. But now I can't allow it because the RCBC will insist that we kosher the place out every single time. Every time somebody rents the shul, they're going to have to kosher it. And it costs a lot of money to kosher these ovens. It's a huge thing. And all the pots. And they're going to pass that cost on to the customer. So to save the customer who rents the shul, we changed the policy. You can't do any cooking in the shul. Can't bring in private foods.
Into the kitchen.
What about into the social hall?
We allow that. Somebody brings in baked goods just into the thing, doesn't enter the kitchen, then it doesn't upset the RCB. That's a rabbi's decision. That's not a RCBC policy decision. Today, I don't know of an establishment that doesn't have some Yotzei V'Nichnas. Every frum establishment in this community has a Yotzei V'Nichnas.
At least.
Yeah, Ma'adan. We've never, ever had a problem with Stui Yossi. In the 25 years, we have never, ever had an issue with them. Never.
What does it mean, an issue? What issue would you have?
Bring in products that are not under supervision because it's much cheaper. What?
I would assume that.
He's got milchiks and fleishiks in the same place. We had problems with many other proprietors who were Shomer Shabbos people. Many problems. Not going to mention their names. But with Yossi and Stewie, we never had an issue. Yet, the Mashgiach goes there as frequently as any other place. Any other Shomer Shabbos place. Any place. Because that's today, nobody trusts anybody. No one trusts anybody. It's sad. It's really sad that the halacha of Eid Echad, the Eman Bisurim, has been buried underground. Nobody accepts it anymore. We all used to buy our meat in a butcher shop that what? The owner, proprietor, was Shomer Shabbos. That's it. There was not an ounce of hashgacha in the place. Not an ounce. In every bakery we did that. In every butcher shop we did that. Nobody complained. Today, because there were a couple of bad...
Got burnt
a couple of times, so now we don't trust anybody. Okay, it's sad that we don't trust anybody. So that is the principle which Tosfos tells us. That every time the kuti shechts, there is a leidat hasafek. There's an element of doubt that he shechted properly or not. So, if there's a yotzei v'nichnas, that removes some of the safek. But it doesn't make it into a vadai. Hence, if I have the opportunity to eliminate the safek completely, that's my responsibility. Completely. That's my responsibility. Don't rely on this. Now, as to your question, why are we more lenient by wine than we are what? With shechita? Here comes the halachic key. What status does the wine have before the Gentile walked in? Kosher or not? Good. So it's chazakah, its prior status is that of kosher wine. Heter wine. Meat, an animal, has a cheskas isur. Its prior status is that it's prohibited. Until you know there's a kosher shechita. So because there's a cheskas isur, there's a much higher bar that we have to undertake. Therefore, we will never allow the shechita of a guy. Kutzi, yes. But by yayin, we're dealing with a cheskas heter. So what has to create the suffix? It's not whether he... That's why. That's the difference. Why there is a lower standard for wine than there is. And that's Rava's point. That's what. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Question. So.
I was going to offer an alternate reason.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, the wine, in order to trace it up, the boy would have to act deliberately. Whereas when you're shechting an animal, you can mess it up.
Inadvertently.
Inadvertently.
Correct.
Yeah.
There are far more potential dangers. Like we said, delay. Just delay. Or if the knife goes out of what's called the Beit HaShchita, there's only a certain part of the neck which you're allowed to use to shech the animal. So if the knife slips a little, goes in, it's not kosher, it's nevela ready.
If we gave both situations, if we give the benefit of the doubt, assume no one's trying to mess anything.
Right.
You can't mess up the wine unless you really try to.
Correct.
You could,
you know. That's correct. No doubt.
What if there's a shortage? Yes. But he's infirm or he has an injury and he's supervising right standing next to someone non Jewish to do the work, but he's intimately involved with it is not allowed?
I don't see why not. If he's, as long as he can see.
Yeah.
See what's doing. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be okay.
Like a lot of the laws about Shita are not, they're also Torah about that.
Who's that?
Like the Bat Shem. So like the Kuti doesn't agree with, like he'll just know that you're supposed to hit the certain part of the neck and this and that, but all the intricate laws he's is not privy to because he doesn't do that.
He does.
But that's not all.
As Rav, yeah, I understand. But that's not the Kuti's issue. The Kuti accepts
interpretation of what's written.
As Rav Shim Gamliel will say, what a Kuti does, what they've accepted, they do more stringently than ordinary Jews.
Right, so they really, in a way, do go.
Correct.
They don't do any of this.
That's correct. And if you go to page number 4 for just a minute, in the middle of the page, the Gemara now claims that this whole debate about the Kuti is actually a debate between Tanaim. Abaye and Rava are not Tanaim, they're Amoraic sages of the 4th century. As the Gemara often does, we try to advance what they said. They're not arguing about anything new. This has already been in existence for 300 years. Tanoihi. It's a machloikis tanoim. The sanya we learned in a brisa. Matzat kuti. The matzah of a kuti. Muteres. The adam yotzei yabai yudecho vatoba pesach. Matzat kuti. I can be mekayim my mitzvah with a matzah that a kuti made. That's the Tanakhama, first opinion. Second opinion, Rabbi Eliezer Oser. Rabbi Eliezer says, we're not allowed to use matzah baked by a kuti for our mitzvah's matzah. Why? Lefi she'ein b'kiyin b'dikdukei mitzvot ki Yisrael. Because, sure, they eat matzah, but they don't know anything about shmura matzah. That's too much of a detail, and they're not concerned about shmura matzah, says Rabbi Eliezer. Hence, I'm not permitted to eat their shmura matzah. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, kol mitzvah shehechziku ba kutim harbe medaktikin ba yoter mi Yisrael. If they accept matzah, not only do they accept matzah, but they take every stringency in the world about matzah. They do it great, better than us. Fine, very nice. So, I don't have time to read it inside. Tosfot asks the question, what would be the parallel of the litmus test that you gave the kuti with matzah? What would be the parallel litmus test? What, that he ate matzah? That doesn't prove anything.
He must be willing to eat matzah on Pesach specifically.
What else must he do? What else must we make sure that... That what?
And he uses it for the same.
Good. One step further.
No.
He doesn't eat any other matzah Pesach at night other than what? Sure. Than the matzah that he baked. Then I have a guarantee that what did he eat? Shmur matzah. Because he observes the mitzvah of matzah. So just giving him a piece of the matzah that he baked is no real guarantee like the meat. When I cut off one slice of meat, that's the litmus test. But if I give him one matzah that he ate, there's still no guarantee that he made it shmur matzah. Because maybe he ate another piece. So Tosfos says, You know what the litmus test is? You have to be with him the whole first night of Yom Kippur and watch him and make sure that he didn't eat any other Lubavitch matzah. You know, he didn't eat any Shmura matzah. The only Shmura matzah which he ate all night was the matzah that he baked. And I know that I'm allowed to eat it. I'm allowed to eat it.
But then it's too late.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
It's not. It's never too late on a d'oraita level. On a d'rabbanan level, we say she eat by midnight. But if you didn't eat it by midnight, you can be yotzeit until alois hashach. Alois hashach. That's all. That's the famous story with everybody. There's a whole debate whether we are mekayim the mitzvah of matzah at the beginning of the Seder or with afikoman. So if you believe that afikoman is the main kezayis and you believe the halachas like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, then you have to have eaten the matzah by chatzot. And Tosfos tells us that you have to be up to afikoman by chatzot. Now a lot of people, that's smack in the middle of the meal. They're not ready, they're just starting the meal. Yeah. So this, everybody knows the story with Tova and Rav Aaron, Zechuanu Levracha. Tova, they had a Seder, and Rav Aaron was makpid. We have to eat the matzah before. And it was a minute to 12, and they barely just washed. That was it. And he told Tova, okay, we're just going to have afikoman, we're not eating anything. And Tova said, my father also knew how to learn a little. And my mother said, we're eating this now. We're not eating afikoman now. My father also knew this halacha. And that shut him up for a while. And they had to eat the afikoman 2 hours later.
We're like seeing
that. That's all. Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll stop here and continue next Devach. If you would like, we can do something on Hanukkah next week, because it is Hanukkah. So I think.